We must take action to make sure that UK businesses are not part of the supply chains that lead to the gates of the internment camps in Xinjiang.
China boosts assault on human rights. It's Monday, January 18th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, a virtual meeting with Taiwan, U.S. political divisions, new tech on display. It's all on today's VOA Asia. British lawmakers from the ruling Conservative Party's Human Rights Commission are saying the Chinese Communist Party has intensified an assault on all human rights throughout China, and that those interacting with the regime should do so in the knowledge that they are interacting with a criminal state. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
From the incarceration of millions of ethnic Uyghurs in Xinjiang province to the brutal crackdown on protests and democracy in Hong Kong, the report authors say there has been a massive deterioration in the human rights situation in China the past 5 years.
In particular, endemic slave labor, the development of surveillance technologies to create essentially an Orwellian surveillance state, the use of forced televised confessions, the implementation of new laws that allow within the so-called legal system for arbitrary detentions and disappearances, and the continued widespread use of torture and forced organ harvesting.
Among those contributing to the report was Rahima Mahmood, an ethnic Uyghur from Xinjiang province. After witnessing the massacre of dozens of protesters in 1997, she fled to Britain. She now performs music concerts to highlight Uyghur culture. Mahmood told VOA people in Xinjiang are living under constant terror, and she has not been able to speak to her family in 4 years.
A knock on the door brings fright to anyone, because you just think that, are they came to me? Are they here to take me away? I don't know how to describe my feeling,
Despite mounting evidence, China again this week denied the existence of Uyghur prison camps and dismissed allegations of forced sterilizations of Uyghur women.
What contraceptive measures they take are all decided by individuals at their own will, and no organization or individual can interfere. There is no compulsory sterilization.
The British Conservative Party report comes as an increasing number of lawmakers demand a reset in relations with China. It's just 5 years since then British Prime Minister David Cameron hailed a golden era of relations with Beijing. But the relationship has since rapidly soured. Following the United States' recent ban on cotton and tomato imports from Xinjiang over concerns of slave labour, British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab this week announced new restrictions.
We must take action to make sure that UK businesses are not part of the supply chains that lead to the gates of the internment camps in Xinjiang.
Mahmood wants Raab to go further and declare the persecution of the Uyghurs as genocide.
He has often remained saying that the genocide, it has to be decided in court, not by politicians. But then we know very clearly we cannot pursue UN route because China has a veto power.
Beijing denies committing gross human rights abuses and has repeatedly called on Western countries to stop interfering in what it calls internal affairs. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China using cognitive warfare against Taiwan, according to observers. India begins COVID-19 inoculation campaign. Gunmen assassinate two female Afghan judges in Kabul. Interference forces BBC to stop airing show on Pakistani TV. Nepali climbers make historic winter ascent of Pakistan's K2. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Kelly Craft, met virtually with Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen late Wednesday after her trip was canceled. Ties between the United States and Taiwan have been growing under the Trump administration, with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo lifting restrictions on contacts between the two democracies. VOA State Department correspondent Nike Ching has more on what comes next for the incoming administration.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Kelly Craft's video conference with Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen is seen as a move to show U.S. support for the self-ruled democracy while seeking closer ties in health and technology.
I would also like to take this opportunity to thank thank you for the staunch support for Taiwan's international participation and for your efforts in deepening the Taiwan-U.S. relationship. And thank you for always speaking up for Taiwan at the most important time.
China is vowing to punish the U.S. for seeking closer ties to Taiwan, as Beijing has long seen Taiwan as part of China.
China will continue to carry out all necessary measures to resolutely safeguard its own sovereign territorial and security interests. Certain U.S. politicians will pay a heavy price for their wrong words and deeds.
For years, most senior American officials were banned from traveling to Taiwan to avoid upsetting Beijing. The State Department recently lifted the self-imposed restrictions. Experts say that gives the incoming administration of President-elect Joe Biden safer options.
I think the Biden administration was going to do its own review regardless, but with this decision now in hand, the Biden administration can look at new and novel ways of interacting with Taiwan to include de facto Taiwan ambassador to the United States meeting with U.S. officials in Washington in a very public way, to include senior level cabinet official level meetings.
The relations between the U.S. and Taiwan have been governed by the Taiwan Relations Act, under which the U.S. provides defense equipment to Taiwan. Other analysts say Washington should continue to bolster Taipei's defenses to maintain stability across the Taiwan Strait. The U.S. says its long-held One China policy is distinct from Beijing's One China principle, and that it takes no position on China's sovereignty over Taiwan. Nike Ching, VOA News at the State Department.
This news from VOA Asia. Several pro-democracy activists in Thailand were arrested as protests unexpectedly returned to Bangkok streets, defying an emergency law imposed during a fresh COVID-19 outbreak to rally against a royal defamation law being wielded against their movement. You'll find this and more on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. A new CBS YouGov poll says 21% of Republicans approve of the bloody siege on the U.S. Congress by supporters of President Donald Trump. Many more believe the November election was rigged. As the United States heads into a turbulent transition of power, Patsy Whitaker-Suara has the story on this divided and angry nation.
It's a scene that horrified Americans, with multiple polls showing the vast majority of the country rebuking the supporters of President Donald Trump, who forced their way into the U.S. Capitol on January 6.
When I woke up this morning and saw on CNN that this was the darkest day in American history, I was sick to my stomach.
But a CBS YouGov poll this week shows 21% of Republicans, that's millions of Americans, said they approved of the perpetrators of the siege. And according to the latest PBS NewsHour Marist poll, 35% of Americans say they don't trust the November election results, even though there is no evidence of widespread fraud.
It's the big lie. If you say it over and over and over enough, then people start to take it as true. And so it's been the president and his enablers in Congress.
Up to 15,000 National Guard troops have been deployed to Washington to protect President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration on January 20th, amid fears of new violence. Meanwhile, this week, the House of Representatives impeached Trump for inciting insurrection, the second impeachment of his term.
The ayes are 232. The nays are 197.
As the president approaches the end of his term, the country is divided. While many scholars draw parallels to the period of the nation's founding and the Civil War, there is one important difference.
Clearly a powerful president, powerful in the sense of understanding the symbolism in the office and that it stands for all the American people, is one of the necessary ingredients in this mix.
While Biden has continued with the message of unity that he campaigned on, he will face steep challenges to heal an angry, divided nation. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
More than 150,000 people from 154 countries are at the U.S. Consumer Electronics Show. This time, all online this week. Michelle Quinn logs in.
A transparent TV screen. Phones that roll. Faucets you talk to. Flying taxis. The Consumer Electronics Show, normally in Las Vegas, is this week entirely online due to the pandemic. Still, they come. About 170,000 people from around the world are attending virtually to see nearly 2,000 companies show off what's new. A big focus, consumer technology's response to the pandemic.
We're seeing a lot even with like touchless technologies, you know, things that are sensor driven because again, people right now don't necessarily want to be touching things.
Perhaps because the event is online, nearly half of the attendees this year are from outside the U.S., more than a typical year.
It's just been so much fun to see people saying hi from Sri Lanka or hi from Peru or hi from, you know, places that we just wouldn't think that people would be tuning in from.
For exhibitors, the online venue is bittersweet. No one can touch and feel their products. It's harder to meet people.
To understand this, you need to hold it. And this is like, for us, it's a little bit sad. But I don't think this is a big problem. Because maybe in some perspective, it's even better.
It's an opportunity to meet each other. It's awkward, but you know, it's the best we can do on this situation.
I actually feel it might be even better because it seems to me, you know, the number of exhibitors now is much less than, you know, the previous time. So we get more attention.
Organizers say all digital CES can't replicate everything positive about being in person, but they are putting on a show, a feat given the pandemic.
What people look forward to now, as we see, especially after this year, is that this need to come together and showcase how technology can change things and advance things and, you know, really help solve things for people.
Technology, bringing people together while giving a glimpse into the future. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
That's our program for today. We thank you for joining us at VOA Asia. Stay with us all this week as we build up to and report on the inauguration of our 46th President of the United States. You'll find more online between our programs on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, all at VOA Asia. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.